The audio track you're about to listen to was recorded at LifeStreams Christian Church in South Perth, Western Australia. For more information, please visit our website at www.lifestreamcc.com.
Thanks, team, for your ministry. Love it if you could turn to the community life that you've received. There's a one-page spot there with a bit of an outline. You'll notice that I also included an article that was put to air with Sunshine Radio in the community life. It's going over air today on Sunshine. You may hear it. It's just a response to the tragedies that have occurred in the United States, Newtown, and those sorts of events, and a comment from the scripture, and hopefully an encouragement to people to consider some things. We've been enjoying a great journey over the last 4 weeks. We started off right at the beginning of the Bible with Genesis 3:15, and we've been on what we call the Bethlehem Road, the road that leads to Bethlehem and beyond. And then we looked at a whole heap of prophecies related to the coming of Jesus and how they have been fulfilled. So Darren began, David, week two. Week three, Rod last week with a hope-filled message that was particularly geared to the children as they were featured, but we focused in on, again, fulfilled prophecies and the work that God has done. And this week we're moving from the cross and from the words of Jesus to the broader words of Scripture, because I do want to suggest to you that as Matthew 24 says, heaven and earth will pass away. Jesus said, my words will never pass away. The fact that he says that means we should sit up and take notice. And one of the things that helped me respond to Jesus was the fact that I realized that in the 60s, when I came to Christ and committed my life to Christ, was the reality that here we were in the 20th century at that time discussing the words of Jesus. There's not too many people that you do that. But then when you consider that Jesus made prophetic predictions about the world, and that's where I want to finish this message today, that's even more incredible. And when you think that Jesus' words and the Middle East and Bible prophecy is all connected, I think that's worthy of our attention as well. So I'm going to share some specific fulfillments. I'm going to also speculate. Will you let me do that? I'm actually going to speculate on the basis of Scripture and share some things that I believe right now, as we speak, are being fulfilled prophetically. And it blows me away. I get excited. I could take 3 hours today and I still wouldn't be finished. All right, so you pray for a miracle and I'll get through by cord to 12 and we'll wrap up. But I won't share everything that I've got prepared, and I've got a heap more that's going to be on the web tomorrow that if you want to access, you can, and a number of websites. One of them is to do with Israel. You can do an Israel 101, and that can link you into the prophetic statements about Israel. And I find it fascinating that God used Israel as a time clock, and that time clock is ticking, and he's still using it. And it's interesting, you won't pick up a newspaper that doesn't speak about Israel and what's happening in the Middle East. And what has happened in the last few years, as we know, is direct fulfillment of prophecy, is the fact that new nations now are aggressively opposed to Israel. And some who were friends and have been for hundreds of years have now become enemies, and that is fulfillment of Scripture today. As a matter of fact, some of them in May and July of this year. There have been secret meetings occurring where decisions have been made, where nations have said, we want to obliterate Israel. We want to get rid of them. And we want to wipe that nation off the face of the earth. In fact, we'd rather give Israel to the Palestinians. Well, the Palestinians didn't exist at the turn of the 20th century. They didn't exist as a group of people. And if you study the history about Palestine, it's very interesting, and particularly about the PLO and all of the things that have risen up there. Now, let me put that to one side. I want to read to you a scripture from Isaiah, something that you ought to take on board. Isaiah 46. Remember the former things, God said, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times. What is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand, and I'll do all that I please. From the east I summon a bird of prey, from a far off land a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, you who are far from righteous, that will I do. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel. Now, this is written at a time of great disobedience in the life of Israel, the nation. And God is saying some very, very interesting things there. But I want you to notice the content of those earlier verses. God doesn't want us to be in the dark about what he's doing. And if we read the scriptures, we can understand more and more what is happening and what is beginning to unfold in the world. So when is the end? When's it going to happen? Well, it didn't happen Friday, did it? And if you'd gone to the 21st of December, you would have gone to a website that could have told you about the Mayan calendar and all the rest of it. The polar shifts and the reversal of the Earth's magnetic polarity and all of this stuff and all the different theories that came from the Mayan calendars and all the rest. And some are still predicting it might be tomorrow. Well, God bless them. No one knows when it's going to happen. But we do know there are signs. And Jesus said, when you see the signs, take note. Take note. People are curious to know, and they'll try anything, but what disappoints me is sadly they'll disregard the one book that actually gives them the answer. The one book that actually elaborates on things for us. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of the law. The reality is God has made some things plain. He's made some things veiled, and he's not told us a lot of stuff. But the things he has told us, we need to wrestle with and consider. And everything God wants us to know about his will is already written in the Bible. The Lord wants us to know his plans, and he declares the end from the beginning for our comfort and encouragement. Now, did you know that a third of the Bible was prophecy at the time of writing? By prophecy, we mean predictive, speaking about the future. Unbelievable. And this was to prepare us for what lies ahead. Now, some of those prophecies have yet to take place. And they are the ones that we'll focus on in a few moments. Isaiah 45, if we just go back a previous chapter, listen to what God said on another occasion to Israel. For this is what the Lord says, he who created the heavens, he is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, he founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, there is no other. I have not spoken in secret from somewhere in a land of darkness. I have not said to Jacob's descendants, to Israel, as we know it and understand it today, I've not said to it, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth, and I declare what is right. Now, I want you to understand something. All prophecy is actually the words of Jesus. All prophecy is the words of Jesus. He was, he is, he will be. He was there in the beginning, he is now, and he will be into the future because he's eternal. He's God. And he was God revealed to us in the flesh. And he was a part of what was bringing the prophetic word to us. And in the month of November, when we looked at 2 Peter, we read these words. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to understand that I believe Ezekiel, I believe Daniel, and a few of these other guys who wrote parts of the Bible and the prophetic literature in the Bible had no idea what they were writing about. They just wrote. There's no way they could have known what was going to happen. They just wrote as God carried them along, as the Spirit of Jesus carried them along. And they wrote for our benefit. And I want to encourage you to wrestle with this stuff and to consider what God actually has to say, because there's some very interesting material here. Now, as I mentioned, Israel's a time clock. still God's chosen people. Whilst many of the Jews may have rejected Jesus as the Messiah, praise God, there's a movement of Messianic Jews today where people are coming to recognize Jesus, Yeshua, as the Son of Jesus, Son of God, and are responding to him. And Darren and I were privileged in a mega church in Manila in July. We were one of 5,000 people. They had six services that Sunday with over 32,000 present. And that's a church in Manila, downtown Manila. And there was a speaker there by the name of Amir Safati. Interesting guy. Real interesting guy. He is a captain in the Israeli army. He was the leader of the largest travel agency in Israel. And some amazing stuff came from his lips because he worked in intelligence up until 6 months ago in the Israeli army. Now, when you consider that more than half of the Nobel Peace Prize winners over the last 50 years have been Jews, when you consider the Intel chip was developed by the Israelis, when you consider the basis of modern computer technology, etc., comes from Israel, expect some surprises. Expect some stuff to come out of Israel that will blow you away. And I want you to understand, you are to look positively at the children of Israel. Don't curse Israel, regardless of your view. Regardless of the view. You see, what we need to talk about, I want to paint a very quick picture for you. 3,500 years worth. Very quick. God brought Israel out of Egypt, took them into the promised land. In the promised land, there were a lot of people, weren't there? Yeah. There were seven nations, the Girgashites, the Moabites, the Jebusites, and the Termites. I mean, there were all sorts of people in the land, right? And God said, obliterate them. Now, that's not 21st century popular, is it? No. And it upset some of us. Yes. But the reality is, in Israel, they call the UN the unnecessary. Or they call it the United Nothing. Why do Israel refer to the UN that way? Because they call it a toothless tiger. And there are reasons for it that will emerge as I share with you. And they came from some of these people that are working in these arenas. Why do they do that? Because the UN would have been opposed to what God told Israel to do. Why? Well, you don't do those sorts of things, do you? Well, hang on a minute. God is God. God said wipe them out. Why? Because they practice bestiality. Sex with animals. Necrophilia. Sex with dead people and dead bodies. They raped little girls. Daily they burnt their children on sacrifices to their gods. We, in many of our nations today, in the UN, would put that sort of person to death. Other nations will say, no, we'll keep them alive and we'll keep them in prisons for the rest of our days and we'll pay for it. The reality is God said, if you leave these people alive, they will infest you and they will destroy you. Sadly, they didn't obey God. God gave them three commandments. Introduce the world to the belief of one God. If you believe in God, God will bless a nation. So there are times when Israel obeyed and God blessed them. And the other thing is, Israel, you will be my chosen group of people to bring the Messiah, Yeshua, to the world. Those three things. They are very important, but they didn't do this. They disobeyed. Now, there was a preparation for the coming of Jesus. And God had spoken over and over again to a disobedient people to prepare them for the world of coming of Jesus. And one of the things that he used, one of the people he used was a guy called Daniel. Now, we all know about Daniel and the lion's den, Daniel and him not prepared to pray, etc. But much of Daniel is prophetic. And I want to read to you one quote. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. Know and understand this, from the time the word goes out, now this is goes out, it went out from Uzziah to Nehemiah, you can go back to Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem. And the people that are in captivity can go back with you and re-inhabit Jerusalem. All right? No one understand this from the time the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, Jesus, the ruler comes. There will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. Now you put that together and it's 483 years. That's how many years it is. It's a total in the statement of Daniel that there'll be 490 years in total. Friends, we used to look at that and think, nah, didn't happen. Dates were wrong. But we forgot one thing. We weren't using a Jewish calendar. If you use the Jewish calendar to the day on April 6, 32 AD, Palm Sunday, Jesus is ushered in as a king on the way to Jerusalem 483 years to the day after Uzziah gave the order to rebuild Jerusalem. I tell you, I get goosebumps with this stuff. The reason I get goosebumps is because when God speaks, he speaks truth. And he tells the end from the beginning, so we sit up and take notice. And if you don't take notice, friends, you actually disregard God's word. And you have to accept responsibility for the consequences. You realize that as this statement goes on, it says the people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. Do you know the people that were in control of Israel at that time with the Romans and who destroyed Jerusalem? A number of years later, it was the Roman Empire. Just as the prophecy said it would be. The temple was razed to the ground. Even that scripture prophesied that the gold would be melted into the foundations. When they burnt the temple, the gold in the temple melted into the foundations and they were still able to get the gold out. Unbelievable. All of that's in the scripture. So that was just the preparation for the coming of the Messiah. Now we come to today's time. And that's where I think it gets even more interesting. After 2,000 years of being dispersed, in my lifetime and many of yours, some of you of younger have come in on the tail end of these things, but in 1948 a miracle occurred. Israel was declared to be a nation again. A nation again. And suddenly Jews began to come back from all over the world. Now many of the Bible commentators would suggest to you that what this is a direct fulfillment of prophecy. That what happened in the Holocaust and all of these things where millions of Jews had died and the Jewish people were at a point of giving up hope. Listen to this scripture. But you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches and fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I will settle people on you as in the past, and I will make you prosper more than ever before. Do you hear that? This is Jews, the Israel. That's why I've got the Star of David up there. This is Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Then you'll know this. What's happened in Israel? What's happened in Israel is that Jews have come back from all over the world. Do you know the miracle when I was growing up in Mount Lawley back in the 60s and I went to high school? I went to school with a lot of Jewish kids. Do you know what they were? Jewish kids. Interesting, wasn't it? Aussie Jews. Aussie Jews. Why are they Aussie Jews? Some of them had been here six generations longer than my family had been here. And they were Aussie Jews. I called myself an Aussie. I wasn't from Britain. My dad came from Britain. But all over the world, you'll get a German Jew, you'll get a Russian Jew, you'll get an Italian Jew, you'll get an Aussie Jew, and they're Jews. And it doesn't matter how long they've been there. In Europe, they've been there sometimes 16, 17, 1800 years, and they're still Jews. Every other race of people migrate somewhere, and what are they? After a couple of generations, you look at them. It staggers me today. I used to say, spot the Aussie. You ever played that game? Well, you can play it more and more now because Aussies come in all shapes and sizes. But when I see an Asian-origined person, obviously from Asia, and they say, g'day, mate, how you going? And I think, my goodness me, it's happened. All right? Because it does. Within a generation, that's what happens. You get Vietnamese. You get that comedian. Oh, I love him. From the Vietnamese refugee. And he talks to you like an Aussie. Right? But not the Jews. They might have an accent, but they're Jews because they're a miracle. And God brought them back in 1948 back into the land. And he said, when I bring you back into the land, what will I do? I will prosper you. Let me tell you what's happened. I can't go through all the scriptures. I'd love to. I can't go through all the scriptures. But I want to tell you about the fact that Israel has blossomed as a rose. I want to tell you about the fact that Israel today has more brains trust than any other group of people put together. I want to tell you that Israel today has five climates, produces the best fruit in the world and can grow any fruit in the world. Israel is the leading authorities on irrigation. That what was desert back in 1948 today is experiencing rainfall because of the irrigation systems, and the Bible predicted it. It said latter-day rains would begin to fall in Israel. You see, we need to take notice of God's word and read it and understand it. Because when God speaks from the beginning to the end, he does so for our good. And he says, when you begin to see these things, sit up and take notice. Sit up and take notice. In those days, at that time, when I restore the fortunes of Judah and Jerusalem, I'll gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There I'll put them on trial for what they've done to Israel. Now, there's stuff that's occurring against Israel that is unjustified. And it's wrong. Because they scattered my people among the nations, they're still persecuting. The nations are still persecuting Israel. And so I want to talk to you about the changing attitudes of the world to Israel and the media. By the way, the Israelis called the media the Medianites. Like that one? Because they don't trust the media. You only get what you get through filters. And there's all sorts of subversive forces that are filtrating what sort of news we get and don't get. And friends, nations have changed their attitudes towards Israel in direct fulfillment of Scripture. Now, what God said in Ezekiel 37, if we move to that, is that there will be the gathering of the Jews. They'll come back from the four nations. And Israel thought the Lord had forgotten them, verse 11. But what we see in later verses in that chapter is the Lord says in verses 12 through 14, I'll bring you back. And he brought them back. But in chapter 37, then there's this incredible passage of Scripture, if we go to the next slide, that speaks about the Valley of Dry Bones. Now, I tell you, if there's one thing that looks like that, it was what occurred in the Holocaust and the treatment of Jewish people. And if you've seen any of those signs in the encyclopedias or in movie clips and all the rest of it, you'll recognize what it's talking about. And that's why some of the commentators believe that what occurred post-war is that the children of the people, of the millions of people who died in the ovens and died in the persecution of the Jewish-hating nations, actually are the people that have come to Israel. And you talk to the average Jew, I was there in 83 and I talked to Jews. I was by myself for 5 days just walking around the cities. And as I talked to the people, they all had relatives in Europe. All had relatives in Australia or somewhere. They'd come from somewhere back to the land because they wanted their nation to be established again and they were proud of what God was doing. Proud of what they were involved in. God says, I'll put my spirit in you and you'll live and I'll settle you in your own land and then you'll know that I, the Lord, have spoken. God brought the Jews from all over the world back into the nation and in my lifetime, this has unfolded so that now, of any nation anywhere in the world, Israel is 100% totally self-sufficient. Doesn't need help from anybody. Then you say, oh, come on, John, what about oil? Well, they've discovered oil. But the best thing for Israel has been the discoveries in the last 6 months of the largest deposits of natural gas in the world that is in Israel's land. The largest deposits there are. And they are currently building multi-billion dollar sites to help them and to provide for them. Very interesting, happening as we speak. So what's next? Well, let's go to the next chapter, shall we? And the next chapter is Ezekiel 38. Recent developments about people's and nations' attitudes towards Israel. And I want to break it up into strong and active countries. I want to talk about the weak countries and passive countries. And then I want to talk about the countries that are nearly gone. All right? Is that all right? We'll throw it out there. All right? Have a look at this. Russia, Turkey, and Iran. Now, you would have never thought you'd hear those three nations spoken about together. But in July 2010, for the first time in human history, Russia, Turkey, and Iran, the nations mentioned as an alliance in Ezekiel 38, if you study those verses, and I don't have time to go into it, there's stuff on the website. The reality is they formed a coalition. And what we had is Erdogan of Turkey, Putin of Russia, and Mahmoud of Iran got together in conference. And you know the one thing they talked about the most? Destruction of Israel. Because there is a Muslim agenda, and more than three quarters of the Russian army is Muslim, but there is a Muslim agenda to eradicate Israel off the face of the earth and to restore it as a holy site for the Muslims. Now, no one predicted this. No one could have anticipated this. And if you go to 2010, if I remember rightly, it's July 8th, it's a landmark event that hardly got reported in the media. The Israelis reported it. But it did get reported worldwide. The Israelis reported it because they actually keep their people fairly well informed of events that are going down. God's word said 2,700 years ago, Russia. Why would Russia want to be involved? Well, Russia is the world's largest producer of natural gas. And it doesn't like the fact that it's now got a threat. Putin has declared, without unashamedly declared, that he wants to be basically the new Tsar. If you look at the way he's gone about getting back into president when he shouldn't be president again, and you look at the evil means that have been behind what he's done, you'll see how he got to power and how the constitution is being altered to allow for him. One of the most amazing things is, do you know where the largest Russian port is today? It's in Tarsus, coastal city of Turkey. 3 years ago, it didn't exist. Go on a website, Google it. Have a look at what the Russians have put there. All right, Turkey. Turkey was disappointed it was rejected by the EEC and not accepted in the European Economic Community. For 400 years, Turkey controlled the Muslim empire in the world, from 1517 to 1917. Turkey misses the good old times when it controlled the Muslim world. 4 years ago, the radical Muslims were re-elected, and in the last 4 years, more mosques have been built in Istanbul than in the previous 70 years. In the last 3 years, it has moved from being a friend of Israel to an enemy of Israel. Iran. Iran is Persia in the Bible. Farsi is the language. In 1999, the Ayatollah and the Islamic Republic of Iran called for the annihilation of Israel, and it is intent on that purpose. The whole world is relatively quiet about what it's doing. Iran is seeking to develop its nuclear weaponry. It's in the process to do that. They say if India and Pakistan and North Korea can do it, we can do it. The world doesn't like that, but understand this, Iran hates Israel. But interestingly, it hates Saudi Arabia even more. Because the Saudis are the guardians of Sunni Islam, where, of course, they are the Shiites, Islam, Muslims. And they are violently opposed to one another. And that's why Iran doesn't really like Turkey, because of the different streams of Islam. Now, the US government's taking a real interest in this, because for 1,300 years, Iran, Saudi Arabia, and others have been killing one another. They've been fighting like cats and dogs. You just look at the history. It's unbelievable what's gone on. And primarily, it's because of the belief systems tied up within the factions of Islam and the oil interest. That's why the US is playing an interest in the US. Now, people have said, why don't Israel do something about this? Well, that's why I love the fact that Amir told us some things, because he works with intelligence. And he said, oh, well, what Israel decided to do in May of this year is send an email. See, what they did is they sent a virus to the nuclear reactor that they were developing, and the nuclear reactor suddenly went to work five times more than it should. But it showed it was working normal. And suddenly some parts started to burn out. And they eradicated, and what they can do in Israel today, because they developed the chip that is behind computer technology, what they've actually are able to do today, in the heart of their defense forces, they are actually to read what's going on in the atomic scientist screen in Israel and observe everything they do and just delete the odd file here and there to stuff everything up. Amir said to us, we think sending an email is better than sending an F-16 with bombs. I'd agree with that, wouldn't you? A lot less painful and doesn't harm as many lives. So you say, now we've got an alliance of three nations since July 8th, 2010, that are committed in one purpose, eradicate Israel. God's predicted there's going to be a big war in this part of the world to pay back the nations who are against his people. God says he's going to take care of it one day. Call that battle what you will. So let's talk about the weak and the passive nations. Oh, you'll love this. All right, the first weak nation is the nation of USA. Don't you find it interesting that America does not feature in Bible prophecy? Who owns America? Americans? No. Have they done a lot of good things? Absolutely. But do you know what's happened in the last 4 years of Barack Obama's government? He inherited a country that had $2 trillion worth of debt. Do you know how much debt they got now? $15 trillion. And it will take five generations to pay it back. That's why there's a fight in Congress right now. That's why they can't agree, because of the tough fiscal messages and decisions that they've got to make and the implications. And the reality is the US is bankrupt to China, because China's provided all of the money. If you ask who owns America today, I'd say China does, and it's just as well China does and not the Saudis. Because if the Saudis had loaned all that money, they'd be saying it's time to pull the skids from underneath the US. The good thing about China is at least they want America to pay back its debt. They want their money back, all right? So there's a scenario that's beginning to develop. Now, I find it very interesting that for the last 5 years since the GFC, without doubt, America's on the slide. And that's why other stable economies are doing so much better against the greenback than they've ever done, historical levels. There's a massive conspiracy that's taking place. I used to think the IMF was a government-controlled agency. Sadly, it's not. It's not democratically elected. It's wealthy people who like to pull the strings. And many of those wealthy people who like to pull the strings are a part of a secret group that I'll describe to you in a moment. Well, that's America. Why do you think America says we should intervene in what's happening in Syria, but Russia and China vote them down on the UN and nothing happens? You see, if you don't have the resources, you don't pull the strings anymore. Those with the resources pull the strings. And America doesn't have a lot of resources of its own, sadly. Egypt. Can you imagine a country being toppled by Facebook? But it was. Ordinary people. But sadly, what's happened is a man called Morsi's come to power. Morsi is a member of the Muslim Brotherhood. What's the Muslim Brotherhood? The Muslim Brotherhood wants to bring Muslims together, but it has one overriding purpose, the destruction of Israel. Destruction of Israel. That's its number one goal. There are a lot of other goals, but it's very, very disappointing to see that another of their goals is to make Sharia law global. Sharia law global. Wants to destroy Israel. Interesting, as soon as Morsi got the power, where was his first trip? To the White House. Americans are very worried. Why? Because they've lost an ally. Why? because now Egypt's turned on Israel. Whereas Egypt used to be the friend of Israel. Isaiah, God spoke about that. Look at Isaiah 31:1. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses, who trust in the multitude, da 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 da. They're not going to help you. You need to look and seek your help from the Lord, not Egypt. Syria. The Bible says Damascus is going to be destroyed, obliterated. And that's the capital of Syria. Isaiah 17:1, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. Damascus has never been destroyed. It's a future prophecy. Did you know Saddam Hussein stored all of his weapons? Israeli intel says that in underground bunkers, his weaponry is still stored, and the rebels, as they're advancing on the city, one match in the wrong place could literally obliterate Damascus from the face of the earth. Literally. With a 17-kilometre radius outside the city's walls. That potential didn't exist 10 years ago. Very sad. Isaiah 17 will cause Ezekiel 38 ultimately to play a role and to come to pass. These are countries that were traditionally strong that are now weak. But what about Europe? Oh boy. Europe spoke about peace, always spoken about peace. It's been the peacemonger in the UN, etc. Who started World War I? Europe. Who started World War II? Europe. When your economy is struggling, start a war because countries benefit from war. If you don't believe me, look at the history. Look at the countries that were involved in conflict. And now you've got wealthy people meeting in a group that's called the Bilderberg Group. The Bilderberg Group meet in Holland. And they meet once a year. They are billionaires and the financiers of this world. They started meeting in 1954 and they are behind many of the major leaders who come to power. And what is emerging is that they have been behind some of the current leaders in the world and they are pulling strings behind. And basically a scenario is developing that says, hey, Russia wants to keep its supremacy. It wants to take care of Israel. Hey, the nations that surround Israel want to obliterate Israel because they are not Muslim. We want to eradicate it, remove it from the face of the earth and get our holy sites, what they believe are their holy sites. And what we see is rumours occurring. Listen to Jesus, friends. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. I better read that again, hey? You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. These are the words of Jesus. There will be famines and earthquakes and pestilences in various places. All these are the beginning of the birth pains. God's plan for the world is going to be fulfilled. Make no bones about it. As Paul said in Romans 13, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. What's God say? He says, hey, read my word. Hey, understand that the Bible's more accurate than any newspaper you're likely to pick up. And what is the likely scenario? I paint a scenario. Israel has become a superpower. Israel is the only nation can totally depend upon its own resources. It has the greatest minds, greatest finances. It has been set up and blessed by God as his ticking timepiece. Don't persecute Israel. Try and understand world events and see that God is using Israel in the ticking down of things. Russia wants to keep its gas supremacy. The Islamic world is calling for the destruction of Israel like never before. Europe is situated now because of these people and other scenarios to approve a war that couldn't have been conceived of 5 years ago. But because of the failing economies of Europe and their inability to bail nation after nation after nation out, those nations are collapsing. America is too weak to intervene because America has to stand by. It's out of resource. It's in debt. We would say America is bankrupt. It's going to struggle to ever pay back its debt. If we had a household budget like America has today, we would go for a clause 10. We would file for bankruptcy. So we see in these few words this: heaven and earth will pass away. My words, they'll never pass away. They'll never pass away. And in the words of Jesus in Luke, when you see these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. There's words of hope in the middle of some big scenes that are playing out in our world today. Friends, we're committed with the love of Jesus to reach every person we can with the love of God. But God doesn't leave us in the dark concerning the big events that are occurring. Go to the website, read a lot of the background material, do the 101 on Israel and all the different things that are a possibility there for you. But I want to say this. God came in the person of his Son in a world that was prepared for his coming. He came as a babe that we remember at this time of the year as a Prince of Peace. He ultimately died on that cross so that we might be saved from our sin because he took our place. If we believe in that, the Bible says we have eternal life. The Bible says we become a child of God. A miracle occurs. His Spirit comes to live within our spirit. Are there questions that are left unanswered? Yes, there are. There are a lot of things that we don't understand, but I have confidence in this. Whatever God's word has said will happen that hasn't happened, it will happen. Based upon the fact that what he did predict that has happened, happened. And the reality is we're going to see more and more these days, these exciting days in which we live, we're going to see the word of God fulfilled. Meanwhile, hey, we've got to play our part. We need to be reconciled to Jesus personally. We need to know Jesus personally. I want everyone here this morning, know Jesus. Accept Jesus. I want us to live with the love of Jesus. I want us to love Israel. I want us to love the enemies of Israel. Jesus loves them all. He loved the world. That's why he died for the world. And he wants to see those who come from any religious background into a relationship with him through Jesus. And ultimately, one day, I'm thankful that the Bible paints a fantastic picture of a world of peace under the control and the leadership of God, where he's going to show us what it was like, however that's going to look. However that's going to look. Whenever that's going to take place. A time when the lion will lie down with the lamb. Time when there will be peace and tranquility, and we'll experience just what God really intended for planet Earth. But meanwhile, friends, let's live in the hope that we have in Jesus. Do you need to accept him this morning? I want to encourage you to do that as I pray. Do you need prayer for healing? We have men and women who'd be delighted to pray for you and with you. Had some beautiful ministry after the first service this morning. And there are prayer partners who will be down the front, be delighted to pray with you, delighted to give you some literature that can help you in your journey with Jesus. But if you haven't made your peace with God, friends, please, please do that. Let's close in prayer. While every head's bowed and eyes are closed, if you have come to the place of saying yes to Jesus, in your own heart, in your own mind, just reach out now. Lord, I believe in you. I'm thankful that you died for me. I'm thankful that you're working out your purposes in this world. I want to make my peace with you. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. And I ask you to come into my life and to give me the capacity to live for you. Help me to that end. And Lord, as long as I draw breath, help me to live for you. Help me to be a source of love, a source of blessing, a source of healing. a source of helping people find you too. In a world that's so broken and so torn, God, you have a master plan and a purpose that you're working out. And I thank you that each one of us is a part of that. Thank you for hearing people's prayer this morning. Help us now as we go into our week to be aware that you live within us and you want us to be your redemptive agents here on earth. And Lord, you have much for us to do. Help us as we serve you. Help us as we live for you. And to those new brother and sisters in this meeting this morning, Lord, help us to encourage them in their journey with you, I pray. In Jesus' strong name. Amen. That's a little overview of some of the things that are taking place. If you've prayed this morning to give your life to Christ, come and let us know. If you need to get right with him and there's issues still to be resolved with, there's people who'll pray for you. We can pray for you for healing. We'd love to do that. Enjoy community time. Enjoy the week. And make sure you take the opportunity to come back tomorrow night. We're going to have a great children's segment and a great adult segment as we wrap up our year and celebrate the Lord's birth. 6 o'clock, 7:30. A little bit of ministry and fun happening before as people come and some carol singing. But we encourage you to come no later than 6 or 7:30, the time of your choice. God bless you. If we can minister to you, we're...